Good morning, everyone. This morning's journey finds my wife and I on a vacation headed to North Carolina to the mountains. We're going to do some hiking and see some friends. So I'm in the car right now. My bride is driving, and you might hear a little bit of the car. I do these live every morning, so that's just the way it rolls. So this morning we're in Deuteronomy chapter 8, and really, this captures the central theme of Deuteronomy. Israel is on the other side of the Jordan. They're still in the desert, and they're about to enter the promised land. And God is giving them, Deuteronomy, a second reminder of all the things that he has asked them to do and obey, so that when they get to the promised land, especially after they get blessed, especially after they find wealth, especially after they receive blessing and prosperity, that they would not forget the Lord when they would get there. It's kind of interesting to know that Israel does forget the Lord. You know that much later in history, they will actually lose the Word of God, and someone will be going into the temple to search for something, and they'll find the Old Testament scrolls in the temple treasury somewhere, and the king at that time, Josiah, will tear his clothes and read it and be like, oh my goodness, I can't believe we've forgotten to follow Yahweh. It's incredible that even with all these grand reminders that they will forget one day about the Lord. And, you know, it's so good. Even we have a repeated message here in Deuteronomy about following the Lord, not forgetting. And it's so important that we do this daily. This is one of the reasons that I, you know, encourage so strenuously that we would be in the Word daily, that we would read through the whole Bible. And by being in the Word every day, it helps us to remember the Lord and not to forget the very thing that God's asking us to do this morning. So with that backdrop, let's get in to Deuteronomy chapter 8. All the commandments that I'm commanding you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to give to your forefathers. You shall remember all the way which the Lord has led you in the wilderness these 40 years, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And isn't that interesting? You know, in the journey of life, we go through hills and valleys. Sometimes it may seem like God is not moving or God is not working. And that's a test for us. It's an opportunity for us to remain steadfast in following God, even though at the moment maybe things don't seem to be going our way. Trust God, even in the silence. And one of the things that I teach is to trust God for all that he's done, not just what you see him doing. You know, there's been periods of history where, you know, it didn't seem like Israel was being blessed. It didn't seem like the favor of God was with them. In fact, a whole generation of followers died out in the desert because of their unfaithfulness earlier. And think about them. They had to wait right now for 40 years in the desert until the next generation God was going to let in. That doesn't mean that he wasn't God. It doesn't mean that he wasn't to be worshipped and that he isn't king. But he just set aside a time for a season where he was going to have Israel wait. And there were other times, like when Israel was in Babylon because of their unfaithfulness for 70 years. It didn't mean that God wasn't real for those people who were in Babylon. It's just that God had set apart a season where he was going to eventually restore them and bring them back to their land, but they were going to be in Babylon for those 70 years. God was still God that entire time. So we have to remember God for all that he's done, not just what we think he is doing at the current moment. It's a test to trust him through the storms. He humbled you and let you be hungry and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know. That was the first time he had fed them in that way in the desert through the manna, that he might make you understand, this is such a great word, that man does not live by bread alone, but lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. How important that is. Man does not live on bread alone, but on everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. Did you know that Jesus quoted this passage? He was being tempted in the desert by the devil when he fasted for a period of time And the devil was trying to twist God's words to Jesus. And Jesus said, man does not live on bread alone, but on everything that proceeds out of the mouth of God. What a wonderful word that is. And may we know it. You know, sometimes people in you know, maybe in my life, maybe in your life, they may judge us, or they may not understand why we believe what we believe or why we say what we say. And I think sadly, one of the reasons that there's division about things sometimes is because people don't know the Bible. And if you would, you know, I try to echo, you know, think of what an echo is. An echo is a sound, right? That it's the same sound that you say it. It just echoes. And essentially, that's what we're to do as Christians, is we're to echo the Word of God. We're to echo what He said. And sometimes I'm astonished when people would disagree with something that I'm proclaiming out of the Word of God, that they would be surprised that I would believe that, or they would say that I'm wrong because the world thinks something different. And it's not about me. It's not about whether I'm wrong or I'm right. The question is what does the Word of God say? Because we are supposed to not live on bread alone, but by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So it's very important that we know it, right? If we don't know the Word of God, we might start believing in our own opinion or the world's opinion and get away from what God actually said. And I need to remember sometimes when people don't maybe respect what I believe, to take it away from me. It's not about me. It's not about what I believe. It's about whether what I'm saying is from the Word of God or not. And I need to turn it back to the Word of God and let people know that's where it comes from. And indeed, Jesus, echoing this verse, wants us to honor the guidance from God's Word. And then He reminds them of what He did for them in the desert. Your clothing did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. That was the years there in the desert. Thus you are to know in your heart that the Lord your God was disciplining you, just as a man disciplines his son. And you know, the Bible talks about God disciplines those whom He loves. So even though some of the generation had to die out in the desert in those 40 years, He was doing that because He loved them, and He wanted, when their children would enter the promised land, that they would be more faithful than the ones that came before. So God disciplines because He loves, just like we discipline our children because we're trying to help them. Therefore, you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God, to walk in His ways and to fear Him. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's one of the greatest things, is to have fear and reverence for God and His Word, and to obey it. There's blessing in that. The Lord wants it to go well with you. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land. This is really interesting. A land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs, flowing forth in valleys and hills. A land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates. A land of olive oil and honey. A land where you will eat food without scarcity, in which you will not lack anything. A land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills you can dig copper. When you have eaten and are satisfied, you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which He has given you. Isn't that interesting? I mean, you know, most of us probably don't think this way, because in a sense, you know, if we have money, we can buy what we want to eat, right? I mean, we go to the grocery store and buy honey. But the things in that day, to have all of these goods and all of this kind of food available, was a major luxury. And God was saying, you're gonna have a much better living conditions when you enter the promised land. It'd be kind of like now if I said, well, you know what, if I gave you $2 million, what would you do? Would you honor the Lord? Would you stay steadfast to Him even though you've been blessed? And God was concerned that after they had the blessing of the promised land, that they would begin to forget and begin to not obey Him. This is what it says in verse 11. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping His commandments and His ordinances and His statutes, which I am commanding you today. Otherwise, when you have eaten and are satisfied, and have built good houses and lived in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and gold multiply, and all that you have multiplies, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. He led you through the great and terrible wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water. He brought water for you out of the rock of flint. In the wilderness, he fed you manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you to do good for you in the end. And see, God's desire is in the end we would be blessed. You know, God's ways lead to blessing. He doesn't want us to forget him as we, you know, one of the greatest temptations we can have is blessing, really. The blessing and of wealth and prosperity, it's easy to become complacent. That's one of the problems in America is with the abundant blessing that we've had in this country, it's easy to become complacent and not remember the Lord. And he's trying to say to them, hey, remember what I did for you in the desert. Remember how I provided for you. Don't forget me when you get there. But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who has given you power to make wealth, that he may confirm his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. It shall come about if you forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them. I testify against you that you will surely perish. Wow. God's giving them a stern warning. And isn't it interesting? It says that he gives the power to make wealth. And may we realize that, you know, the things that have gone right or well in our lives are a blessing from God. And if you've been blessed with wealth, you know, just be careful about staying steadfast to him and also thinking about how you can use what God has given you for his glory. And may that be a call to each of us on our lives, because in America, we have been very blessed. And may we not just use that blessing for ourselves. And, you know, here I am on vacation, right? Makes me, you know, not that there's something wrong with vacation, but it just reminding us all that we need to be a blessing to the kingdom of God, to others, and to serve his kingdom, even if and when we've been blessed. Verse 19, it shall come about if you ever forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you that you will surely perish. God does not want us to worship anything but him alone. There's no other God, God alone. Remember? Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord alone, or the Lord is one. There is no other God. He wants us to know that and worship him alone. And then he said in verse 20, like the nations that the Lord makes to perish before you, so you shall perish, because you would not listen to the voice of the Lord your God. Wow, what a tragic thing that is, to turn away from the living God, to turn away from his guidance and instruction, to believe in our own opinion, to believe in our own ways, and that is going to lead to destruction, not only in this life, but in the life to come. But following the Lord God is going to lead to favor, not only in this life and the life to come. How important that you and I honor every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, and to be in the Word every day and to remind ourselves of the Lord and to know all that he said. That's why I believe every serious Christian should study the whole Bible. That's why we have Revering the Word. That's why I do what we do, and I've been doing it for a long, long time now. I just continue going through the Bible, and I can tell you it's worked. I want to tell you that going through the Bible at a chapter a day and just committing to do that for your entire life, I'm here to tell you it works. And I would encourage you, when you finish this three-year journey, to do it again. Stay in the Word, and you'll see that God's favor and blessing are with you, and ultimately, you're going to have the faith that's going to enter his eternal home. God bless you all.